We regularly hear commentator David Brooks on NPR's All Things Considered and the PBS NewsHour. Last year, he wrote, "As usual, there were a ton of artists and musicians at political conventions, and that raises some questions. How much should artists get involved in politics? How can artists best promote social change?" One person who serves as a model here was not an artist, but understood how to use a new art form. Frederick Douglass made himself the most photographed American of the 19th century, which is kind of amazing. He sat for 160 separate photographs. He also wrote four lectures on photography. Douglass used his portraits to change the way viewers saw black people. Henry Louis Gates Jr. of Harvard points out that one of Douglass's favorite rhetorical tropes was the use of two clauses in a sentence in reversed order to create an inverse parallel. For example, Douglass wrote, "You have seen how a man was made a slave. You shall see how a slave was made a man." And that's what Douglass did with his portraits. He took contemporary stereotypes of African Americans, that they are inferior, unlettered, comic, and dependent, and turned them upside down. Words of David Brooks from the New York Times, August 2nd, 2016. Regional actor and playwright Robert Hughes wants to introduce us to Frederick Douglass and the power of his rhetoric to change the way we see the world with a dramatic reading set this Saturday evening at the Rossetti family estate in Scranton. We had a chance to speak by phone with Robert Hughes.
He wrote the narrative of slavery. So what I'm doing is I'm interviewing him as the writer of what he wrote. And the uniqueness of it is that I'm asking him the questions that the audience would ask. So it is a dramatic presentation. It gives the illusion of a live interview. So I play the interviewer and the interviewee.
Tell us something about Frederick Douglass and his importance to us in America.
Frederick Douglass was one of the leading abolitionists who led the freedom movement for the Afro-American. His text is a tour de force, complete documentation of what slavery was all about, and i.e. from the minute details of how he was taken from his mother at 11 months. He is the authority on slavery. And most importantly, in a word, it is the story of freedom. Freedom is certainly unique to all of us. And I asked him, I said, "Frederick, how did the thoughts of freedom weigh on your mind?" Well, he simply said, "Freedom now and forever had been a thought that obsessed my daily thinking. Every object within sight or hearing, animate or inanimate, held a silver stamp of freedom on it." So it is a story of our freedom that we take for granted. He valued it because he did not have it. And it is as relevant today as his last public address, which was 1893. This is how he was photographed more than Abraham Lincoln. I have on my stage his glaring picture that reminds people that freedom is unique to everyone. It is about the fundamental need that all of the psychiatrists tell us. We need to have freedom. And freedom these days is a very rich commodity that we need to embrace. Frederick Douglass reminds us about freedom because he never had it. He speaks to us today, and I'm going to take just one piece. He says, "In the 14 states of this Union," this is 1893, "the Union mobs have taken the place of law. They hang," and I'm quoting him verbatim now, "they hang, shoot, and burn men of my race without justice and without right. And we only ask," he says, "of his people to be treated as well as you treat the late enemies of your national life. The progress that my race has made has been forgotten because of the place that they started. They started in the lowest of all forms of humanity." And he asked us to be mindful of that.
When did you start working on this project? What was the impetus to prepare this piece?
I, I wanted to do a piece on the Afro-American in this country. And I thought it would be in the form of a play, and it is. This is a two-act play, but what makes it unique is that I ask the questions that the audience would want to know.
Robert, you are a veteran of the theater, and you follow, I'm sure, what happens and what kinds of discussions are going on in the theater world at large. And you know there have been discussions in recent times about the casting of white actors playing roles in other ethnic and racial groups. Do you have any sense about that when it comes to what you're doing here?
If I were doing a movie, I would have to be Afro-American. When you do a play, you dramatize the mind and soul. And my task is simply to dramatize the words and the mind of Frederick Douglass. I think I could be any nationality at all. Now, once again, if we were going to film this, we would have to get an Afro-American performer.
And Bob, you also have created the great union leader, Johnny Mitchell, and you have created a series of regular folks from our region to tell the stories of the miners. This is a kind of a mission on your part, actually, to help us have an encounter with people and maybe change our lives?
My task is to celebrate the historical American heroes. This narrative is an absolute tour de force. Its emotional complexity, memorable characterization, and vivid imagery testify eloquently to the human capacity for triumph over oppression and illiteracy. It is a celebration of the Afro-American community who have gone through these horrific experiences. Frederick just symbolizes and pictorializes with his life and his words. He was a teacher by his vocation, and he is by function a legendary statesman, orator, abolitionist, author, educator, and a reformer. His contribution to America is immeasurable, and of all the characters I've portrayed, this is the most significant. I am humbled and happy to play my tiny part in reenacting the life and history of Frederick Douglass.
Is this the first time you've done it before an audience?
I'm glad you asked me. This is a premiere performance, and it is being performed at the Rossetti Family Estate, which is in Scranton at the corner of Vine and Quincy. And it is at 7 o'clock on Saturday evening the 14th. The Rossetti Estate is architecturally and artistically a unique place to do any theater. Father Mark Rossetti generously opens it up for all artists within the sound of my voice. Any artist that wants to present material, be it opera, be it acting, be it musical, is welcome to contact Father Mark Rossetti at the Rossetti Family Estate in Scranton. Now, tickets for this Saturday evening show, with the confirmation will be at area code 570-586-2512 if you get a chance with the reservations. If not, it's fine, but it's not a large venue, so it's very intimate. We can seat possibly 60 people, so reservations would be suggested.
Playwright and actor Robert Hughes speaking about Interview from Slave to Master, a dramatic reading, Saturday, October 14th at 7 p.m. at the Rossetti Family Estate, 1005 Vine Street in Scranton, corner of Vine and Quincy. Reservations are suggested. Area code 570-586-2512, 586-2512. Interview from Slave to Master, a dramatic reading featuring Robert Hughes this Saturday evening at 7 at the Rossetti Family Estate, Vine Street in Scranton. For reservations, call area code 570-586-2512.